And now, the show that nobody asked for, Points Spread Action, PSA, with your host, IBS Eases. What's up, everybody? It's IBS Eases coming at you guys with a poor production podcast, but it is the first podcast. PSA, Point Spread Action, is primarily a NFL-based podcast where I talk about my picks for the week that I like and also go over the previous week that I've had. And we just kind of keep a tally on what's going on in the NFL against the spread, points total, you know, just one of those shows. So it's going to be a little weird because right now I'm doing this solo. So I do have a soundboard to kind of lighten the mood a little bit. But again, it's just me literally talking to myself at this point. So we will have some guests as the show goes on throughout the season. I've already talked to some people like Corey Carlton, Jeff Rushing, some degenerates in our group. And also I'll be working to try to get people from off Twitter, some guys that I respect that might be willing to come in and just kind of give us some info. So before we start, I'm going to give you guys a commercial and then we'll get right to it. Like this podcast? Then make sure you hit the subscribe button on iTunes and get updates on every new episode of PSA, the Team Turnbuckle Podcast with Keith Fleming. You got a minute, fam, and much more to come. You can also join our IBN Entertainment group to discuss the latest in entertainment outside of sports. IBN is more than a sports page. All right, so let's get down to it. Week one, NFL.
Give me a hell yeah.
I had a good week. As far as the super contest goes, I got 4 out of 5 picks. I was very excited about that. But of course, when I looked at the scoreboard, I was ranked like 1,058 out of, I don't know, maybe 6,000-7,000 people. So even winning 4 out of 5 isn't necessarily good enough to get on the board per se.
I gotta pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers in this racket.
But nevertheless, it was a good week as far as NFL goes. I'll go ahead and run down my picks. If you're not a member of the IBS All-Star group, you need to join the IBS All-Star group because that's where I kind of go over my picks and what I did good, what I missed on. We'll start with the misses. I was all in on the Colts at +4 against the Seattle Seahawks. I am a Wentz stan. I thought it was a decent spot to give it a try. If you check our NFL show during the Sunday morning, Ronnie gave out a wild tidbit on just how good Russell Wilson is against the spread when he travels to the East. And I still ignored it and went with Wentz, and it backfired on me just a little bit. It also took them as a money line play to try to add some value to the pick, but ultimately the Colts just didn't have enough. And you know, if you allow Russell Wilson and Lockett to connect on a regular basis, it's only a matter of time before DK gets off, and then you essentially are just getting blown out. And that's kind of what happened to the Colts. They just got run over. I was very disappointed about the Colts defense as well. I thought they put up more of a fight, but they just didn't have it. But that was my only miss as it related to the super contest. You know, my best play probably was the Dolphins at +3.5 visiting the Patriots. Needed a little bit of luck, a little bit of rookie mistakes from Mac Jones or just in general, the Patriots roster not necessarily being where it needs to be to cover a number like that at home in the first game. And, you know, I think they only won by one. I think it was like 17-16 or something like that. But it was a good boost if you look at the money line and the 3.5 that I got. And I think the 3.5 was the highest number that it went up to. So I called it at the peak. You'll see where, you know, we'll talk about some lines, but they obviously changed throughout the week. If you listen to Ross Tucker and Steve Fezzik on the Even Money podcast, I'm a huge Fez fan. I think Fez is awesome. He's probably one of the better listens when it comes to betting on the NFL. But he talks a lot about catching the right number, and I think that's really key. I started NFL betting like seriously maybe 2 to 3 years ago, and I can tell you, like, I check the lines like every hour. And it's just to kind of get an idea of what number I'm looking for, whether that line is trending up and down. If I need to just go ahead and buy the hook and get the number that I want anyway. Action Sports has a good, they have a good app that you can use, and I would suggest everybody download that. There is a monthly subscription, but again, it'll track the lines for you. If you're very serious about the NFL, I would recommend that you get that. I swear by it, just to kind of take some stress off your plate so you don't have to always be looking at your phone. You can even set it to where you link it to your MyBookie account, and it'll play the bet for you once you get the number that you want. So it's really convenient. But anyway, I got that Dolphins line at 3.5. I think that was the highest number you could get. My second money line play and outright dog win was the Los Angeles Chargers. I almost called them San Diego. But the Los Angeles Chargers at the Washington John Does. I'll refer to them as the John Does. A game that probably could have went the other way, too. I know some people are talking about, you know, well, if Ryan Fitzpatrick hadn't got hurt. If you listen to our podcast on Sunday morning, I talked about how this is probably the first time in maybe 2 years we've seen a healthy Chargers defense. And I thought that ultimately the John Doe's offense with Ryan Fitzpatrick just wasn't good enough to score enough points to beat a Los Angeles Chargers team. Now, the Los Angeles Chargers offense did pretty well against a front that is probably one of the best in the NFL. Not the best, one of the best. And when I say one of the best, you could make a case for them being top 10. Chase Young got neutralized for most of the game. That kind of helped Herbert. I didn't really think it would matter that much anyway, because what I was trying to tell people too is, you know, once you get past that front, I think the John Doe's offense or defense is fairly below average, maybe average at best. And it can be exploited by guys who are phenomenal route runners like Keenan Allen. And I think that's what happened in that game. But the Chargers plus 2 and the money line hit. My favorite play that I personally picked was the Broncos at minus 3. Broncos were laying 3 in New York. Teddy Bridgewater is phenomenal against the spread. I'll post it in the group for the people who are a member of IBN. I'll post it in IBN, and I'll post it in the All-Star group, and I'll also bring it up on Sunday. But I'm pretty sure, as a starter, since he's been in the league, Teddy Bridgewater is at least 60% against the spread. It's absolutely phenomenal. I mean, when you look back even on the teams that he played with when he was with the Jets, when he was with the Panthers, that Panthers team had literally zero talent, and he was still covering the number, even against teams like the Buccaneers. And the one time I think he didn't cover the number against the Buccaneers is because Leonard Fournette didn't take a knee or didn't go down. But either way, he's phenomenal against the number. Broncos, not the most talented team, but they do travel well historically. In recent memory for me, they travel well. And I don't think the Giants are that talented. I don't care much for their coach. So it just seemed like a good spot to add them. And then probably the best value play against the spread was the Browns at plus 5.5. Almost got them money line if you were willing to take that risk. I wasn't, obviously, in Kansas City. But at 5.5, I mean, even with shooting themselves in the foot, they still covered that number. And I think that was huge to kind of boost their confidence, even though, again, the game didn't end the way they wanted it to. But it showed, you know, right out the gate, they can be competitive with one of the best teams in the league. Still kind of in limbo on my end as to where I rate them as far as like a power ranking idea. But, you know, I think they deserve to be a top five team on most people's scales. As we're looking at their division and looking at their schedule, I think they can cover the number most weeks. So I'll talk about them a little bit more when I get down to their game for week two, which I think is inflated. But typically, I'm looking to back the Browns this year. And my side plays, my over-under Titans cards at 53 would have probably been the bad beat of the week, if not for the Monday night game and if not for the Niners game. All right, so the Titans cards were at about 49 or 50 points with about 11 minutes left in the game. They didn't score again, did not score again for 11 minutes. And so that under hit. If you took the Niners to cover 9, 9.5 against the Lions, I'm so sorry for you. And those are the games where people really think that the NFL is rigged. It's where they literally flip out because of how it played out. But before we get into the bad beat of the week, I'm going to give you the disclaimer one more time. We'll run that promo for you guys, and then we'll get into the bad beat of the week. Like this podcast? Then make sure you hit the subscribe button on iTunes and get updates on every new episode of PSA, the Team Turnbuckle Podcast with Keith Fleming. You got a minute, fam, and much more to come. You can also join our IBN Entertainment Group to discuss the latest in entertainment outside of sports. IBN is more than a sports page. All right, bad beat of the week.
Oh, you motherfuckers.
San Francisco 49ers. They're my team. You know, I'm not shy about that. I don't like big numbers on the road. I think anything over a touchdown is kind of too big for bad quarterbacks or average quarterbacks. Jimmy G isn't necessarily bad, but he's very average. I don't think the Lions are that good. I'm very critical of Matt Campbell. I call him a meathead. I don't respect Jared Goff. I even said that on the podcast Sunday morning. Like, it's Goff. You're not worried about Goff. The way this game ended probably would make me want to fight somebody. So if you missed it, the Niners were up 41-17 with less than 3 minutes left. Matter of fact, it might have been with the 2 minute warning. They were up 41-17. The line closed at 9, 9.5. Lions get an onside kick. They make the two. They score a touchdown. Get the 2 point conversion. Niners get the ball. Deebo Samuels fumbles. Lions get the ball back. They score again and get the 2 point conversion. And the 9, 9.5 is now 8. It's 41-33. That's how the game ended. Maybe an all time bad beat. I would have to like Google some all time bad beats. That's got to be up there, though. That has got to be up there. The idea that you won, recover an onside kick in today's game is absolutely ridiculous. And then to cover that onside kick and get a fumble on the next possession, and then you get 2 2-point conversions out of that. That's just awful. I don't even know what else to say other than, you know, there's a gambling hotline that you can call to maybe vent to them. But that is unfortunate and probably the bad beat of the week. Fez and Ross talked about the Ravens game. I don't want to spend a lot of time on how stupid that game was. It kind of killed my vibe for the whole week one. I had the Ravens to cover the 3, and I had the under 51. Both were in play until the last, or actually both were in play until the fourth quarter. And then I don't know what happened. Overtime was even more confusing. And I ended up losing on both of those. And the only thing I got out of that game was Lamar Jackson over 71.5 rushing yards. Not something you would typically take for a quarterback, but the way their offense is set up, they won't move the ball unless Lamar runs it. So if I can get Lamar anywhere around 70 yards against most teams, I'm taking that, especially against a team like the Las Vegas Raiders. All right, so some key notes from week one for everybody to kind of consider going into week two. And one thing you'll always see with the NFL is that these things vary from week to week, man. So we'll just call them nuggets. We'll give them a nugget for the next or for week one. So we've got underdogs were 10-6 straight up in week one of this year. 10-6 straight up.
What the fuck?
Exactly. Now, you take that into consideration. Only five teams receiving 50% of the money covered their bets. The public got slaughtered this week. Absolutely slaughtered. Underdogs were 12-4 against the spread, and the under was 9-7. So, dogs were in play week one. Will that trend continue in week two? I don't know. Let's talk about it. Thursday night's game is the Giants. Giants are giving 3.5 to the Washington John Does. It's a Thursday night game. Giants just came off of a deflating loss. I mean, the John Does came off a deflating loss. They lost their starting quarterback as well. I actually think the backup is better. He had some flashes last year, like towards the end of the year. And it was kind of in games that were relatively meaningless. But, hey, I thought he did well enough that he could potentially run the offense. So, I'm not a big Daniel Jones fan. I can't see the Giants being able to control the line of scrimmage like the Chargers did. It just feels like a game where the John Does are going to get the upper hand early, and we'll get some inexplicable turnovers from our boy Daniel Jones, and they'll cover this number. I'm leaning to the Washington John Does. It was -3 this morning, with Washington laying 3. It's now 3.5. I would buy the hook. If you need any kind of advice on like key numbers, there's plenty of information about that online about key numbers in NFL. Stay away from 3.5. It's always a sticky situation with that 3.5. So if you like the Giants, take the 3.5. If you don't like the Giants, then buy the hook. Knock it down to 3. The over-under is at 40.5. I thought Fez had a good point about this game probably starting slow. The first half is under, and I don't know if Fez said that or Ross Tucker said that, but either way, the first half should be around 20 points. That's probably a good underplay right there. You know, they talked about it a little bit on their podcast. I actually think that it's a sound idea. But just some tidbits on this particular game. The Giants are 5-0 straight up in their last 5 against the John Does. They're 3-13 straight up in their last 16 games in September, with one of those 3 wins coming against the John Does in 2019. So do with that what you will. I'm the type of person I kind of go by what I currently see. I do know that in the NFC East, the most unpredictable things happen all the time. Like, it's just, there's no rhyme or reason to it. But I think, me personally, I think we can bet on the John Does covering this number in this particular situation. If it was a regular Sunday, if it wasn't a short week, I probably would be taking my points with the Giants, but given that it's a short week and the Giants didn't look all that great, I think it's a good spot to go with the John Does. All right, so the game after that on my list, all my odds come from mybookie.ag. MyBookie is a sponsor of our group. So if you have not joined MyBookie, join mybookie.ag and use promo code Use promo code IBSports. And you'll get a pretty nice rollover and some site credit. So take a look at it. The Saints laying 3 on the road against the Panthers. Over-unders at 44.5. I did not watch the Panthers-Jets game. So I know people might think I'm a nerd, but I go back and watch the games, at least the condensed version. Sometime I do like a little film study with all 22s, but NFL.com doesn't have that option up right now. But I like to kind of see what's going on with a team that I don't know a lot about, just to kind of see if they match up well. I mean, I was listening to the Saints and Packers game on the radio. It just sounded like Aaron Rodgers really just kind of threw in the towel at some point. So I'm not sure what to make of that other than I like Jameis Winston. I don't like Sam Darnold that much. You got two quarterbacks who have a tendency to turn the ball over. I'm going to lean with who I think has the better defense. And I think that the better defense is with Sean Payton and the Saints. I also think the coaching matchup favors Sean Payton. The Saints are pretty solid on the road, but against Carolina, they've been 2-5 against the spread. This line being at you know, with them laying 3 on the road, seems about fair. Seems about fair based off of what I saw last week from the Saints and obviously the result from the Panthers game as well. Could be a trap. I'm leaning Saints, though, right now. Next game, I had it marked as my survivor, but then I switched it to the Buccaneers. But the Texans are getting 12.5 at Cleveland. The over-under is 48. Just the most weirdest tidbit coming. Tyrod Taylor is 5-0 against the spread since leaving Buffalo in 2018. 12.5 is a lot of points, man. A lot of points. It's the type of line that when I first started gambling, I would only trust the Patriots to cover a line like this. I don't care who's playing. I would trust Tom Brady and Belichick, not Tom Brady and Bruce Arians, Tom Brady and Belichick to cover this number. The Browns don't have a Tom Brady or Belichick or anything close to that. They do have a great defense, but I'm just not willing to take the chance of them finding a way to blow this. Now, should they cover? Yeah, they should. I mean, they should blow the Texans out of the water, but this is the NFL, and regardless of what we saw week one, historically speaking, teams don't get blown out. And 12.5 is like a blowout. So Deshaun Watson had great success against the Browns. I know Tyrod's no Deshaun. He doesn't have nearly the same amount of talent. But it still just kind of bothers me with this number being so high. I'm going to pull back and just stay away from this game personally. But, you know, if you want to take that risk, I would give a strong consideration to looking at the angle of the Texans before you jump on the Browns ship, just because stranger things have happened. You got a team like the Texans who nobody expected them to win, and then they obliterated the Jags. They're going to be pretty amped up for this game because this is another test, a chance for them to make a statement. And, you know, the Browns are in a spot where we've seen them look ahead and just take teams lightly before in the past. And so we're not talking about an outright win by the Texans. Is it a possibility? Yeah, it just doesn't happen that often. But we're talking about covering a pretty large number. And I think we have to really take that into consideration when we're talking about how to play this game. So that's a no play for me. And the game after that is the Bengals. Right now, this line is +1. So the Bengals are at the Bears. The Bengals are giving a point.
Danger zone.
It's got to be a trap, right? It's got to be. Something's not right about that line. Me personally, I was looking to play the Bears as my best bet this week. I'm not sure now. I mean, that line dropped 2 points since this morning. The Bengals were laying 3 this morning, and now they're laying 1. I don't trust Andy Dalton. I don't like Andy Dalton. I know there's a meme going, or like a meme going around about Allen Robinson's route tree against the Rams and how the Bears can't effectively use him. I would interject at this particular juncture and say, look, we're talking X's and O's. You got Aaron Donald on the other side of the ball. You don't have a lot of time to block, okay? So you don't want your receiver running 15-yard routes or anything over 10 yards because you got to get rid of the ball quickly. So I think that was just kind of a scheme thing. Can the Bears move the ball on the Bengals? I would say the answer is yes. I don't think anybody's going to have a problem moving the ball on the Bengals. But can Andy Dalton not turn the ball over? And can Andy Dalton finish drives? And those two things are where my question mark lies. And with this line already looking like it's about to flip, I would have to check to make sure that it's not public money shifting the line and what the sharps are thinking. My gut tells me that Justin Fields he's not going to sit on that bench long, man. I mean, it's obvious that he's got to play. You got Soldier Field. The fans are going to be screaming for him. I know Justin's already spoke on that publicly and asked the fans, you know, to give Andy a chance. But I'm sorry, Justin. We've seen what Andy can do, and we don't like it. There's a revenge factor for Andy Dalton to get back at his old team, but I just don't know if he's got it in him. You know, it's like his nickname was what? The Red Rifle is probably the Red Water Pistol now. So I'm not sure. I do like the Bears defense. I don't read too much into them getting carved up, quote, air quotes, carved up by Matthew Stafford, a guy who's familiar with the Bears in general and one of the best offensive minds in the league and Sean McVay. So this, again, I want to make sure this isn't public money shifting this line or if it's sharp money shifting the line, but generally speaking, sharps, from what I've seen in the NFL, sharps usually attack lines like that early if they've got information. And if it is indeed sharp money, it just means that Andy Dalton's probably starting again and people just don't have faith in him. So the over under at 45, the Bengals are one of the more interesting teams in the league, where I think they'll never have any issues as long as, Joe Burrow stays upright. They're never going to have issues scoring. But again, how good are the Bears going to be in the red zone? I'm just a little concerned about that. I'm going to advise waiting on the over under. Just obviously, you know, just give the weather a look in Soldier Field. It's still early in the season. You don't typically get anything crazy out there, but I would just hold off on playing the over under on this game right now, just to make sure, you know, who's starting on the Bears, the quarterback, and what all's going on that end. My actual best bet for this week, and it's kind of crazy, is the Steelers laying 5.5, hosting the Las Vegas Raiders. I think Fez mentioned it on the podcast. I saw it this morning, and I thought to myself that line is a little too low. The Steelers' defense is for real. They're legit. The pass rush is legit. They're not going to play a lot of silly cover zero like the Ravens were doing it and letting somebody like Waller just beat them left and right. And Derek Carr is like, he's just, it took him 3 quarters to get it together. I don't think he's going to get that kind of luxury from the Steelers. The Steelers are a pretty good team at home. I know if you look at the historical numbers, the Steelers haven't covered a number this big against the Raiders in a while, but I like what I saw to Pittsburgh and Buffalo. I didn't really have them covering that number in Buffalo, but if they were able to show me, obviously, that they could not only cover the number, but outright win in Buffalo, and then they get to, you know, come home in a scenario where they've always typically been successful, I like it. What are we going to get out of the Raiders here? They're probably still drunk, you know, from their crazy win. They did not deserve to win that game. They did not deserve to cover the number. And I think we're going to get some kind of
righting of the ship here, where we bring them back to Earth. I'm not predicting a blowout, but I can see 7-10 for sure on the Steelers. So I like the Steelers to cover this number. I'm going to make it my best bet. I think worst case scenario, we can depend on the Steelers defense to help us here more so than the Steelers offense, which didn't look all that bad. But I really like what we have here in this particular matchup. The most interesting game, I think, this week comes with the Bills giving three or laying three in Miami. Funky, funky situation. I've seen this line go from three and a half. One of my tidbits for this particular game here. Last year, in Miami, the line was 5.5. The Bills were laying 5.5. They won by 3. They are 1-2 against the spread in their last three games when playing. Or sorry, Miami is 1-2 against the spread in their last three games when playing Buffalo. The one time that they covered, you guessed it, was the home game. So, I like this line at 3.5 for the Dolphins. I like their defense. I think it's going to create some problems for my boy Josh Allen. But if it gets lower than 3.5, I actually like the Bills. I think the Bills can win this outright. I'm just not sure if it'll be. In my mind, I can see them winning on like a last second field goal. And that's kind of why I like this idea that the Dolphins will cover this number. I think there's some issues with the Bills. One of those being that they can't really run the ball. I have my opinions on that, but that's neither here nor there. They're not a good running team unless the quarterback is running. And I think the Dolphins have the type of defense that's equipped to give a guy like Josh Allen problems. And so, therefore, like I said, if I can get this higher than 3, I'm definitely siding with the Dolphins. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, run this promo one more time, and then we will get to the second half of the week and close out the show. Like this podcast? Then make sure you hit the subscribe button on iTunes and get updates on every new episode of PSA, the Team Turn Vocal Podcast with Keith Fleming, You Got a Minute, Fam, and much more to come. You can also join our IBN Entertainment group to discuss the latest in entertainment outside of sports. IBN is more than a sports page. All right. So we've got another familiar scenario for the Indianapolis Colts. The Rams are coming to town this week. Another NFC West team. Rams are laying 3.5. Literally the identical situation that we saw with the Seahawks last week. And quite honestly, I just got to say that I'm not with Wentz this week. Maybe I'm really high on Josh Allen, but I like the Rams defense. I think they'll travel well early in the season. If this was later in the season, I probably would lean more towards the Colts, but I think it'll be competitive. If I can get this line with the Rams at 3, I'll take it. If I can't get the Rams at 3, I'll tease it. I don't want to be backing Carson Wentz against an aggressive Rams defense. And what we saw last Sunday was definitely a more aggressive defense. I love Raheem Morris. I think he's one of the best, one of the best. So we're talking top 5-7 defensive coordinators that people don't normally talk about. But he knows how to get the most out of his players. He knows how to get the most out of his secondary. Jalen Ramsey is all over the place, and that makes him really dangerous. One thing I will say is that the Colts should find running the ball to be a little bit more easier against the Rams than they did against the Seahawks. Rams historically have not had a really good rushing defense, but if they can't run the ball, Carson Wentz, in my opinion, he won't be able to beat them looking anything like he looked last week. And he started really good, but the adjustments that the Seahawks made seemed to really give him fits, and the Colts defense just couldn't stop Seattle's offense, and the Rams have a more clock controlling offense, but just as effective at finishing drives. And I think that'll really put the Colts in a bind when they get behind. So leaning to the Rams here. The over-under is at 47.5. Not really liking that either. Looking at it under there. The next game. Danger zone. Niners laying 3 against the Eagles. Homer alert. I'm going with the Niners. I've actually got some side bets on the Niners, or a side bet on the Niners. It doesn't look good as far as the numbers go. Niners are not a great team in this spot by like their spread history. They failed to cover a lot of the game, numerous games actually, especially against the Eagles. They failed to cover in Philly. However, I think last week's scare is going to put them in a different mental state than if they had to finish that game with a blowout. So I'm assuming we're going to come in more focused to make a statement and to actually close out a game. 3 is not a big number on the road. What I believe to be a more talented roster, not superior in the sense that it's like a large gap. I just think that top to bottom, we match up better and we can execute better than the Eagles. Eagles obviously did their thing against the Falcons, and that's great. They're coming home to Lincoln Memorial, so they're going to be amped for that as well. I'm sure the Philly crowd would be super amped, but I still think Jalen Hurts has limitations. The receivers do scare me a little, but I feel like we should be able to get pressure on Hurts with Bosa in our front. So that should kind of be a wash there. And I don't think we'll have too many issues running the ball. I mean, we typically never do. So I'm looking for a Niners cover here. The over-under at 50, again, seems a little like an exaggeration. Because if we're being real, they held the Lions to 17 all the way up to the last 2 minutes of the game. Philly just held the Falcons to 6 points. So where are we getting this idea that it's going to be a shootout from? That kind of concerns me. I can see something along the lines of 2017 or 21-17 or – like in my eyes, field goals will be kicked in this game, and I think we're going to get an under here. So if you're into those field goal props, I would take a look at that game. Broncos laying 6 at the Jags. Over-under is at 45.5. How can anybody back the Jags right now? With rumors of Urban Meyer potentially going to USC, with rumors that Urban Meyer was – literally threatening to fire people after preseason games. Like it's just a lot going on in Jacksonville. They're already a struggling organization. I mean, you got a guy in Urban Meyer who's got the standard of winning everywhere he goes, and he's in a losing situation, you know, and he wouldn't even use his best player on offense last week. I think Robinson had like 5 carries or something stupid like that. I love Sunshine, but I mean, he can't do it by himself. He's still a rookie. So a lot more questions from Jacksonville than answers. We talk about bounce back games in the NFL, but we're also looking at a team where the morale is really low, Jacksonville, and morale is really high in Denver. I mean, we got Von Miller praising Teddy B, saying he hasn't felt this kind of leadership since Peyton Manning was there. Not saying he is Peyton Manning, just saying that they've got a quarterback that they believe in that can score points and control games and help the defense get a break. And I think that's huge. Again, Teddy Bridgewater gets the spread. I'll find the information. I'll post it in the group, but he's really good. Not taking anything away from anybody else, but I'm going to go ahead and back my man Teddy B to cover here and the Broncos to cover here. Next game, Patriots. This line has moved up. The Patriots are now favored by 6 at the Jets. I was
thinking about this game earlier when I was leading to the Patriots, and I said, am I really going to trust a rookie quarterback to cover on his first road game? And then I thought about it, and I was like, am I really going to trust a rookie quarterback to cover against Belichick in his first game? So it's like one of those like catch 22s, you know, you kind of at some point you're going to have to go against what you normally do. Mac Jones looked great week one. Looked a lot better than I thought he would. Handled the amoeba defense that the Dolphins bring to the table really well. I thought that would be a learning curve, but he seemed to be up to task. I'm going to go ahead and give the guy my backing. I'm gonna play the Patriots at 6. I think in my super contest I got him at 5.5. But I'm going to lay it here with Belichick and Mac Jones and see what we got. More of a fade of the Jets just being the Jets. But, again, I want to really see what we got in the kid. Like I said, he looked decent last week. See if he keeps that momentum going. The over-under at 42, not sure what to make of that. I have to do a little bit more research on that, but my lean would be the under. Cardinals, Vikings. Vikings visiting the Cardinals. Vikings are getting 3.5. I am all over the Cardinals if I can get it at 3. I'm not a fan of the Vikings. I think the Vikings are trash. I think the organization has a lot of issues. I think a team that starts a game out with like 6 straight penalties should not be considered. I don't care what they do in week 2. Week 1 looks so awful. They should not have been losing to the Bengals. I did not anticipate that. I don't think anybody anticipated that. But it was disappointing. Cardinals typically play well at home, but they always find a way to make games closer than what they should be. So, like I said, I'm gonna get the 3 if I can. I'll leave the 3 on the Cardinals, but not anything else. The over-under is at 51. I got burned by the Cardinals last week at 53, but the Vikings defense is probably going to give up 30, and their offense will probably score at least 21. So, I mean, if I had to make a play, I would lean to the over in this game. Falcons. Bucks. Falcons getting 12.5. All that stuff I said earlier about that being a lot of points is still true. However, could anybody look worse than the Falcons week 1? I mean, even with all the woes of the Jaguars, they still didn't look as bad as the Falcons. That, you got to fix it. Obviously, you don't expect it to be that bad for an entire year, but fixing it against Brady and Bruce Arians on extra refs, yeah, I'm good on that. I would do this as a no play, or you can't even tease that now. Like, that's a lot of points. So I'm just gonna do a no play. I will say this though, I did add this Bucks like the outright win as my survivor play this week. I mean, you can get plenty of options on the Bucks. You don't have to use it this early. I just figured I'd just get it out the way when I know that they're going to be serious about a game and not try to wait to the end of the season, especially with it being 17 games. I'll just go ahead and take the sure wins right now. Survivor strategy real quick while I detour a little. My survivor strategy last year was pretty solid, and I just kept picking on teams that I knew were going to be 1 to 2 win teams. Falcons are probably that team, so I'm going to probably fade them a lot. Where we're talking about the Saints, we're talking about the Panthers, and then the Bucks. I'm definitely going to be fading them early in the season. Titans. This is an interesting game here on market.
Danger zone.
Titans getting 5.5. At Seattle, over-under is at 54. I will say that over-under is entirely too high. I was thinking about this game, thinking about, you know, when we talk, you'll hear me say this a lot, and I've probably said this several times in the podcast, but bounce-back games, bounce-back teams. That's the terminology that people use in NFL and gambling, NFL gambling, and it is a true thing to an extent where you apply the logic that a team can't be but so bad when you've rated them, like, high. So the Titans are
pretty much universally considered a playoff contender. They just got embarrassed and blown out by the Cardinals at home. They can't possibly be blown out 2 weeks in a row. You would expect them to be focused and keep this game close. With that being said, I got scared of this game because this is the first game that the Seattle Seahawks get the 12th man back in a year. It's going to be live in Seattle. It's going to be absolutely insane. They just got murdered by a shifty quarterback who doesn't throw on time and extends plays. And they're playing the shifty, doesn't throw on time and extend plays quarterback poster child. And Russell Wilson, I'm not taking the risk. I'm laying it with the Seahawks. I will say that I'm going to watch this line and hope it goes lower so I can just lay it. Seahawks do have a tendency to make numbers like 5 and like 8 seem like numbers you want to kind of fade with them. They do have a tendency to just make it more difficult than what it should be against the spread. But in this particular situation, I don't think the Titans are bouncing back this week. And it's more of me respecting the fact that this is going to be a emotionally charged game for Seattle and their fans. And in that environment, it was already one of the hardest places to go into and win. And I think we see Ryan Tannehill kind of fold a little bit. So not touching that. If you're leaning to the Titans, so when I say not touching that, I'm not touching the Titans. I'm all on the Seahawks in that particular spot. Next game, Cowboys getting 3.5 against the Chargers. Over under is at 55.5. That is a big number. I'm high on the Chargers defense. Again, I really think that they're a lot better because they're healthier than people want to give them credit for. Collins is out. What's his name? Galladay's out. Not Galladay. I forgot the other receiver's name. I'm drawing a blank right now. But Gallup. Yeah, Gallup's out. I mean, Zach Martin's coming back. But, I mean, I'm looking at this like maybe a lean to looking at the Cowboys team total under. I have to take a look and see what it is. I guess if it's 55.5 right now and they're getting 3.5, we're looking at somewhere under, it'll definitely be like around like 24.5 or something like that. I don't see the Chargers defense giving up that many points at home. I mean, we'll see. I might even go ahead and say I'm laying the 3 if I can get the 3. I don't like the 3.5 per se, but I wouldn't be totally shocked if the Cowboys end up in a one-sided shootout, put it that way, where their defense, because their defense did play really well against Tom Brady, but if they just kind of medium back to what the expectations were in this particular game. It is a coast-to-coast game. They did have extra rest, but they're going from the East Coast to the West Coast. It should be a little bit trying for them, and we'll see how it goes. Not a big fan of the coach. Still see some inconsistencies in their red zone offense, and that can land them in a lot of trouble against a team that has a solid defense and has no problem with putting points on the board at home. Sunday night game. Chiefs laying 3.5 at the Ravens. Historically speaking, the Chiefs have bullied the Ravens during the regular season. I think we were in this spot last year. Not this early, but we were in this spot last year with a healthier Ravens team. I'm going to lay the 3. I'm sorry. I know, again, we talk about teams bouncing back, but this is a battered Baltimore Ravens team. It's going to be hard to shake off that embarrassing loss with the Raiders and then have to come in and play a team that historically has given you fits, even in Baltimore, and has the utmost confidence I mean, hell, if you watch the Tom Brady, I mean, the Peyton Manning and Eli Manning telecast on Monday Night Football, Kelce didn't even know who they were playing. He thought they were going to San Diego. So, I mean, it's just how the Chiefs are. They're a relaxed team. They're not afraid of anybody, and they're going to bring their A game. I don't think they're going to allow the Ravens to really get off in this situation. So I'm going to lay the 3 here. And then Monday night, the Lions are traveling to the Packers, the embarrassed Packers. They're giving the Lions 11. The over-under's at 48. I'm going to take the over. That Packers defense looked really overrated. Some of that was due to their quarterback turning the ball over. But the Lions defense just gave up 41 points to a team that likes to run the ball, not even really pass. So I think the Packers offense should bounce back here in front of Lambeau. And the over should hit. I don't think Jared Goff's going to stop throwing the ball. And so I like that over 48. All right. So we're going to close out building the teaser. If I'm building the teaser this week, I'm going to build it with the Broncos, the Seahawks, and the Steelers. I think those are 3 teams that are, I don't ever like to use the word guaranteed to win, but I think at the number that you're getting them at now, it's a good bet to take those 3 to just outright win their particular games. And with that, I'm going to leave you guys. Thank you for listening to Point Spread Action PSA with your host, IBS Eases, and I'll catch you guys next week, hopefully continuing our winning ways.
Powered by Riverside.